Taylor Decker's on my all 22 fantasy team. Stop. They don't care.
So the strategic component to this game is through the roof.
Your predictions, right? Your forecasting in fantasy football into how good is this player?
This is going to, it's going to change the industry.
Yeah. I moved to the old town where it goes down. Look at me now. I wrote my goals down. I hold it down. Made myself proud. Say, look at me now.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All 22 NFL podcast, the official podcast of the All 22 fantasy football platform. The only fantasy football game with full 53-man rosters, including offensive linemen, where you get to choose personnel packages, have an advance, and have access to advanced statistics to make decisions each week. To learn more and sign up, go to all-22.com. Ray, got a little tongue-tied there, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Cannot wait to talk about some of these trades. You know, it's a big day in this country. It is the NFL trade deadline. It's the day we've all been waiting for months, if not years. And it's,
trade deadline,
it's finally here.
Election day. We've been competing the last few weeks with like Joe Rogan, call me daddy. Like we've just been competing with, you know, the top podcasts out there right now for the top spot with election season going on. I think we're doing a really good job of that, man. So congrats to you. Pat yourself on the back. Trade deadline is getting hot right now. We are going to be reacting to some things in real time. We're going to have to. But let's just quickly start with some of like the traditional, we'll go game, you know, position by position, talk about some things. We'll skip over some that seem duplicative, like because now we're at the stage of the season where Lamar Jackson, you know, has like an 80 grade. He's probably still going to be number one. So we'll skip over those guys. So quarterback, it is a lot of the same. It's Lamar. It's Jaden Daniels, but Derek Carr with a 51.7 grade and the coach is getting fired, right? Derek Carr coming fresh off of an injury. And coach getting fired is concerning to me. I think, you know, his contract is really going to put this team in a bad position next year. He is under contract. They're going to owe him the full amount. And we're seeing it already, right? They're starting to trade away stars on their football team. Marshawn Lattimore, the first one to leave. How concerned are we with Derek Carr, but also like the Saints in general?
I've always been. What's the saying? Like the market always like wins out, right? The market will always, you know, bear the truth. I'm never wrong. I'm just early. The Saints fooled us for two weeks, but you've all heard this. I was saying all off season, like, I just don't like what's going on in New Orleans. And I think this is the year finally catches up to them and things just kind of go south. And then they had a great week one. And then they played the Cowboys, which is now just everybody's get right game. And everyone got excited about the Saints. Turns out that was just sort of a delayed fuse. And so, yeah, it's just the Saints have been operating on a credit card for too long. And without the assets or the players that were good enough to really justify that sort of approach, like it's one thing to go all in and really max out your credit card when you have a top five or six quarterback in the league who you can truly win a championship with. But when it's Derek Carr and an aging defense, I just don't understand how that's ever the right play. And I think 2024 was just the year that it caught up to them. And now they have to make some moves to kind of right the ship a bit. The Marshawn Lattimore deal itself doesn't necessarily relieve them much of the contract stress or salary cap stress they're going to be under after this season. But it's something, and it's just more of a signal to get more draft capital in there so that they can acquire new players at a cheaper rate. I think the window is completely closed. It looked like they were going to steal a season. It might be open for a while, and it's just not the case. So definitely just stock down on all of that. The Derek Carr era is going nowhere, and the Saints just have to hit the reset button. They can't keep just butting up against the ceiling of the salary cap each year with a roster that doesn't justify it. It defies logic, and they're going to be in for a bit of pain for another season or two.
The only thing, because you're right, and you were right about the Saints, but I think one thing that sticks out to me like a sore thumb.
I'm so upset about saying that, but go ahead.
I am, because I really like the approach that the Saints took besides the financial aspect of it. The way they did the finances is never going to be good. But to me, the real issue that this team faced this year is just having a healthy offensive line, right? All 22. They've had 9 starters with 100 snaps this season on the offensive line. That's not sustainable, right? We've seen injuries to the middle of the offensive line. Fuanga's even missed a little bit of time. And, you know, like you were saying, Derek Carr's at the stage of his career where he's not leading a team anymore, right? He's kind of sitting back and hoping to do the little things well to help lead a team to victory. He can't do that when the offensive line isn't any good, right? And Olave now is going to be missing a ton of time. And that was probably the tipping off point, right? When your number one receiver in a pretty weak receiving group is out, you're kind of done, right? But yeah, the money that this team spent in certain positions is just absurd. Like, I think Taysom Hill's getting $15 million next year to be essentially a backup tight end, the third string running back, fourth string QB, right? Like, it's just weird the way they spent money. So that's concerning. Okay, let's keep it going here, right? Running back. I'm not going to talk about running back. It's all just about the same this week. Derrick Henry's still at top. Mixon crushed it. But receiver, we could talk about that for a minute. The breakout of Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 92.5. He had his monster game, his breakout game. We talk about the route runners in all 22 being the ones that I like to target, right? They tend to grade pretty consistently compared to, you know, maybe some of the bigger bodied receivers who rely on, you know, difficult catches, right? Getting up and to the catch point. Smith-Njigba being the route runner that he is, it's not surprising to me. And I do expect it to continue. Metcalf is out. They're going to have to rely on him. Definitely invest in Smith-Njigba if you have him.
Yeah, it's always been just a matter of opportunity and just sort of being a focal point in that offense for Smith-Njigba. And, you know, they've had Lockett, they've had Metcalf. They like to run the football. They have two running backs. There's only so much football to go around. And Smith-Njigba kind of got lost in the shuffle a bit here and there early, but we were always still just high on the prospect, and we saw what he could do when really relied upon this past week. I mean, he's just a great tracker of the football. He can accelerate and decelerate just with the absolute best of them in at the position. And yeah, this is the prospect that we all knew and loved. So he's not the physical prototype just monster that DK Metcalf is, but he doesn't have to be successful in this league. And so yeah, I think it's a stock up big time for Smith-Njigba. This is what we've wanted to see and the player that we thought he could be. It's just a matter of, again, just the opportunity to make those plays so that while, yes, he will be consistent in getting open and getting separation and doing little things right, he still needs those targets to have the ability to make the plays that allow him to really have those takeover games that we like to talk about at positions like wide receiver. And this past week was one of them, and good for him for taking advantage.
Awesome. Let's move to tackle. Paris Johnson Jr. is the most promising to me this week with 72.1. And while that might not blow you away on the season, he is now up to an 80.6 overall grade, which is fantastic, right? And we've been kind of seeing this bounce back of the Arizona Cardinals, right? They are number one in the division currently, which is one of the most difficult divisions in football, with San Francisco, Seattle, the Rams. These are teams that are always competitive. Arizona's at the top with a 5-4 record. They've beaten San Francisco already. And Paris Johnson is maybe that anchor that they were looking for, right? And he's a player that both Ray and I liked as a prospect. So I'm going to be tracking Paris Johnson. I think if you haven't invested in Paris Johnson in any of your leagues, start doing it now because he's going to be great.
Yeah, I think I'm starting him every week. And if you look at the schedule, I don't see an immediate standout at edge that would make that would give me any pause in to not start Paris Johnson Jr. until the final week of the season, which is already after the playoffs when they see the San Francisco 49ers again in Bosa. So his lowest grades this season were against the 49ers and the Chargers. So those are the Bosas. So a lot of Ohio State flavor in this one. But yeah, otherwise, he's been very solid the majority of this season. And he's a young ascending player. It's his second year. It's exactly what you want to see. And I don't have any reservations about starting him moving forward every single week. We kind of came into the year saying, okay, he's still a young player. Maybe he's one that you have as your tackle three and you kind of monitor to see how he develops. But he's already checked that box and he's proven that he can have success and that he is on the right track. So I'm not holding back any longer. I mean, unless I have two elite tackles, which is a strategy a lot of people go for early on. So maybe you do, but if you don't hesitate at all to start Paris Johnson Jr. every single week. He's currently the offensive tackle 13. He's top 25 in pass blocking and top 15 in run blocking. So he's solid all around. There's no immediate or you know, really large holes in his game at this point. It's just a matter of consistency and where he's bringing that every single week. So yeah, start Paris Johnson Jr. every week. Don't be afraid to do so just because he's 23 years old.
Going to guard, Joe Thuney beats out Chris Lindstrom for the number one spot, 86.1 season grade for Thuney. But there's a lot of Jets hate, I'm not going to lie, on the list that I have up in front of me. Mekhi Becton is the top performer of the week with a 92 grade for the week last week for the Eagles. And I just wanted to talk a second about how some organizations, right, just can't really get it right. And right now that's the Jets, right? They've paid a ton of players to be there. They've paid some of the best stars the NFL has to offer. And it's just not clicking, right? And at some point, you have to look in the mirror and say, this is an organizational issue, not a player issue. And the organization clearly has player development issues. Mekhi Becton goes to the Eagles. They move him to guard. And he's playing pretty darn good football.
Yeah.
These are all for the Jets to change that.
Yeah. It's, I guess it's just not all Robert Saleh. Who knew? But yeah, good on the Eagles. Good. I mean, it's just, you said it all. You see a strong organization like the Philadelphia Eagles. You see one that's just not like the Jets, and this is what you get. So if you have a talented player that is going from a good or a bad organization to a good, that should raise your eyebrow and be someone you either trade for early on before they blow up, right? Like a Mekhi Becton has. You know, if they're still on the waiver wire or you still have a week or two in the trade deadline and you like a certain player who is moving from, again, a bad organization to what you would deem a good one, you might want to jump on that train before it leaves the station, because you could have probably picked up Mekhi Becton on waivers heading into this season. And now, maybe in a select few leagues, he's still out there on the waiver wire. But otherwise, yeah, you probably missed the boat. So good on the Eagles, good on Becton, and yeah, same old Jets.
Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. We're going to skip defensive interior today because it is a lot of the same. Jalen Carter's most promising. Cam Hayward's still on top. But at the edge rusher position, we have Trayvon Walker as the most promising performance of the week with an 81.8. Wanted to bring him up because it really has been a bit of a bounce back season for Walker, right? And he had a really bad rookie season, struggled a lot last year in his sophomore. But in year three, it's starting to click. Yes, he started off slow. There was a 49 grade in week one, 64, 61, 55 up to week four. But then in week five, 90.3, 61.1, 70.7. And then this past week, 81.8 against Philly. Philly has a great offensive line. So, you know, this is something you like to see. Trayvon Walker was always a developmental prospect, playing across from Josh Allen. It made a lot of sense to get a more power threat to pair with your speed threat. But, you know, with the success Aiden Hutchinson has had, obviously that's what you're measuring against. But let's take a step back from that and just look at Trayvon Walker from the player that he is, right? If he was, say, a third round pick, how would we be looking at him? And is there hope that this can be a starter in all 22 in the next year or so?
Trayvon Walker has to run his own race. And that's what, if you evaluate him as such, then you're slightly encouraged, because you look at a player who's 23 years old, who has the tools, has the athleticism, obviously, and just hasn't yet performed, but is having his best year to date in year three, which is the prove it year for players of this archetype. And that's what he's doing. He's got 21 hurries on the season from a pressure perspective. So he is getting sort of a consistent push at the line. Obviously the situation with Josh Hines Allen across from him is helpful. So I wouldn't consider him an every week starter, but you don't feel bad about rostering him at this point, where for the past 2 years, you probably did and felt like you were left holding the bag because of, you picked someone with high draft capital and a lot of talent, and he just didn't produce at all. Now he is. And again, it's not every single week. You mentioned some ups and downs in there, but the, you know, the light is flickering in an otherwise pretty dismal Jaguars season and pretty disappointing situation overall. That's one potential bright spot. So this is more so, he's done enough now to, if I have him, great. I don't feel bad about holding him anymore. And now I'm just kind of keeping an eye on and how he develops for the second half of the season to see if this will actually be something or if this is just going to be the type of player where you see the flashes every now and again for why he was drafted highly but never quite puts it all together. The rest of the season, I think, determines that. So I'm not quite there yet, but he's definitely worth the roster spot now.
Are you keeping Doug Peterson?
No. No, I never wanted him. Well, I won't say I never wanted him in the first place. You needed Doug Peterson after Urban Meyer, but no, he's taken them where he needed to, which was out of the depths of just the nonsense that Urban Meyer left them with. But to get to where they need to go, they need some fresh blood in there. So I'm out on Doug Peterson. He played his role, and the time has come.
All right, let's go to linebacker. Zach Bond was the top performer of the week, 92.6, but promising is N'Kobe Dean with a 92.3. He has been great. We highlighted a couple of his big plays this weekend. But DeMario Davis is concerning to me just because, again, it feels like the soul of that Saints team is getting kind of sucked out of it. And Davis hasn't really been good. I have him in a lot of leagues. I typically didn't even look at it. I just started him every week. And I've had to look recently. It's been bad. 58.2 grade this past week. I think he should be a trade candidate. I think, you know, if the Saints can get something for him, give him a chance to compete on a contending team, I think that would be great for him. But at this point, if that doesn't happen, linebacker is kind of a fail fast position. At this point, it's almost like you're not even sure you can roster him. It's been that bad.
Yeah, he's going to be 36 years old. So I've always stayed away from that. I just don't like 36-year-old legs on my team because it's you never know where the cliff is. Like if the cliff hasn't happened yet and you're 35, you're probably at the edge of the cliff. And I think that's what we've seen with him along with everything else that's gone wrong in New Orleans. So they have 15 minutes as we record here now to trade him for something, to your point. Not sure if that gets done or if this is just one of those deals where they write it out and you as a DeMario Davis owner just go, thanks for all the years. But Father Time catches up with everybody and it just is what it is.
Yeah, it's brutal because I'm trying to see if there's any other trades that are coming through, but there's all this political stuff on here. Like, what's happening?
I don't know what's going on today.
Corner, Zion McCollum, Ray, still number one, 86.9 on the season, Ray, just to tell you.
Yeah, he gives up that deep post. That might be a different story last night, but sure, go ahead.
Jalen Ramsey is the highest of the week, 90.2. He's still doing it. There's still going to be those highlights every now and then. We said that, right? Like, I wouldn't go buy him, but, you know, if you have him, you're gonna smoke him. Safety, Kirby Joseph surpassed Brian Branch. The two Lion safeties are the highest graded safeties in the NFL right now. Kirby Joseph with a 90.7. But Jaden Hicks, most promising to me. I've been talking about him now and then. 78.3 game yesterday. So excited about him. That's really all we have on the week in terms of, you know, the matchups and what to expect, things like that. Want to start talking about some trades? You got some time?
Yeah, that is the biggest thing that's happening in our country today. So we really need to talk about trades. It's what everybody's waiting for today. And it's finally here. We have 13 minutes till the end of the deadline, but everyone's excited to talk trades on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. That's what it's all about.
There were two trades that happened. I don't know if we talked about them last week, so I'm just going to mention them briefly, but Diontae Johnson to the Ravens, pretty big trade. I think maybe we talked about it. He's more of the same. Cam Robinson, though, going from the Jags to the Vikings. Jags are starting to kind of blow it up. Vikings lost Darisau, so it's an easy replacement for him, although a way lesser player. But you wanted to do some kind of a little play on the whole election thing here. So tell me what you want to do for this part of the conversation.
I just want to go through these trades and we'll just vote on which is the best. I mean, it's I'm not sure how you decide a vote with two people, but I think we're going to do it. Like I think we just both have to end up agreeing. Otherwise there's just no declared winner. And I think everything just devolves into a state of anarchy with no leadership. But let's just discuss, you know, what's the best deal here? Let's see what if we can come to a consensus. If we could unite as two
as a podcast, here, as a podcast,
yes, and agree upon the best trade as of 3:48 p.m. Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, day of the NFL trade deadline.
Well, I'm going to vote on the most interesting one first for me.
Fine. Let's do that.
Delay the conversation a little bit, right? Prolong it. The Steelers are adding, like legitimately adding, right? They go and get Mike Williams. Is he a difference maker on that team? I don't really know. But Preston Smith is. Preston Smith is a pretty good edge player. Played a few seasons with the Packers. 61.8 grade this year. It doesn't blow anyone away. But he's a tried and true NFL edge rusher. And the Steelers have a ton of them. So I don't really know how he's going to play into that dynamic. Maybe he's more of a big body guy that could put his hand in the ground, do things differently than what they have. I know, you know, Nick Herbig is a smaller guy. But kind of interesting trade there. Preston Smith adding maybe some depth to that rotation. The Steelers must think that they are a legitimate contender this year.
Yeah, Russell Wilson has turned the clock back, unlocked their wide receivers, and why not go for it? I mean, Russell Wilson is, what, 35 years old, going to be 36, not a lot of time left, and he's playing well. So take advantage of it because that's not going to last forever. So go ahead, add another piece to your pass rushing rotation there, right? You want to keep those guys fresh. And Mike Williams, you squint hard enough, you say, things just aren't clicking with anybody in New York right now. And Russell Wilson throws a good kind of, you know, moon ball deep pass. Mike Williams, big body, you know, can maybe get behind the defense, make something happen. It's possible. You squint hard enough. It's a why not move for the Steelers. They don't give up a ton. They add another potential weapon at wide receiver. Weapon might be a strong word, but, you know, another potential viable target to what they have. And yeah, just go for it, man. Let Russ cook. He's almost 30. He's going to be 36 years old around Thanksgiving. So let him cook. Let's see what happens here. I agree. It's an interesting trade. But then again, you take a step back. They're going for it. 35-year-old quarterback, good record. Nobody thought we'd be here. So let's shoot. Go for it.
They have Washington and Baltimore the next 2 weeks. So it really was the time to go for it and see if they can keep this 6-2 record going and keep improving. My favorite trade at the deadline, Ray, so far.
It's your vote. Okay.
This is my vote. I'm going to throw it out there. Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys. Oh,
that's a draw. Wow, I walked right into that one.
Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys. But it's my favorite trade for the Panthers. Because if you play fantasy football, you're all listening to us. You probably do. You have that one dude in your league that you can just scam all the time, right? You have a guy you need to drop. You have a dude that you need to get rid of. You need a roster spot. You find that one dude in your league that absolutely sucks at fantasy football, and you dump the player on him, and he gives you something valuable. Jerry Jones just got dumped Jonathan Mingo for a 4th-round pick. For context, I think DeAndre Hopkins went for a 5th-round pick. Mike Williams probably just went for a 7th. I don't know. I haven't looked it up. Oh, what do you think, God. Ray? I think that's pretty good. Best trade so far, Panthers, 4th-round pick for Jonathan Mingo.
Mike Williams went for a 5th-round pick, okay? Steelers sent a 5th-round pick to the Jets for Mike Williams. And kind of to what we discussed, again, if you squint hard enough, Mike Williams, 54.2% of contested targets have been caught throughout his career. So contested target guy, moonball deep pass, you could see it, right? Jonathan Mingo to the Cowboys is the most ridiculous trade I think we will see this deadline. And I can't think of a less ridiculous trade in recent memory. It's not going to steal. I mean, yes. Okay. The Bryce Young trade. I'm not talking about that. Like that was just a team going for it when they shouldn't have. But the thing about the Dallas Cowboys is they are looking at their roster right now. Their running game is the worst in the league. And quite frankly, Rico Dowdle is actually not that bad, right? The running game is the worst in the league for a multitude of reasons. One of them is the fact that for some reason they you know brought back Ezekiel Elliott after cutting him for being ineffective. He got a year older, was bad in New England, and then they brought him back anyway. While he's still on the books on their salary cap for his previous contract that they cut him to get out of. So they were already paying him to not be there. Then they paid him more money to bring him back just to average 2.5 yards a carry. Then he gets disciplined before the game this week, doesn't even play. And again, just absolute mess. Worst running game in the league, right? But in Dallas, part of the reason why they have the worst running game in the league is because they missed out on the run on running backs in the 2024 NFL draft because they didn't have a 4th-round pick because they traded one for Trey Lance. Okay, you want to take a shot on a young quarterback with traits and he can kind of fit the archetype of the current starter there. That's fine. It's, you know, you might not like it, but you could see the vision and the why. there is no, I cannot understand for the life of me. I cannot find the why for this trade. Why the Cowboys, after suffering the consequences of not having a fourth round pick in the 2024 draft, will then send a 2025 fourth round pick for Jonathan Mingo, who has been one of the absolute worst wide receivers in the NFL in the last 2 years to start his career. Yeah, he was in a bad situation, but he's averaged less than 1 yard per route run in for his career. He's done nothing. He hasn't separated. He hasn't made tough catches. He's 6'2", 220, and that's it. It's like, okay, he was drafted in the second round a couple years ago, and you know, a lot of pro football front offices like to kind of gamble on some traits. Okay. But you suffered the consequences of not having a fourth round pick. That is one of the most valuable picks in the draft. That's your first pick in day three. That's how championship teams are built. They're not built in round one. They're built on hitting in those middle round picks. So you have good players at cheap contracts. He's already 2+ years into his rookie deal, so you don't have him for a very long time, and he hasn't shown to be good. It makes no sense, and you just lost your quarterback. You just lost Dak Prescott for a few weeks to a hamstring injury. You're under 500. You're going nowhere. It's gonna. What are you going for? It makes absolutely no sense. Jerry Jones is losing his mind. He's yelling at radio hosts for questioning his decisions, but they make no sense. I don't know where to go with this. I don't know what the categories are, but this certainly has the vote for most ridiculous, most befuddling, most bamboozling. I don't know, whatever. It's got that on lock. It makes zero sense.
It's hard, right? Jonathan Mingo, you know, as a rookie, showed some things, right? It wasn't a fantastic year, but 43 receptions, 418 yards. Like, there are rookies in the second round that do that every day, right? It's not the worst season we've seen from a rookie wide receiver taken in the second round. Is it great? No. But this year, 12 receptions for 121 yards through 9 weeks is tough, right? But is there the belief from the Dallas front office that this is a Carolina issue and not a Mingo issue? Is there a chance that that's a legit possibility? Maybe, right? And I think that's what Dallas must believe, right? And they go get a receiver that maybe they had great scouting reports on. They really loved in the draft. It's only, you know, a year and a half ago that they had that vision for him. And they get him for what they believe is better value, right? He got taken in the second round. Maybe you would have taken him in the second round. You're getting him for a fourth round pick. You sell yourself on that. It makes sense to you. He's on a rookie contract. It's not going to be a lot of money for 2 more years. That's what you're selling yourself on. But again, if you're Carolina, you're essentially saying, I missed and I'm getting a fourth round pick. I'm losing 2 rounds of draft capital from the second to the fourth round to make up for my mistakes. And I get another shot, right? And I think that's what Carolina's saying, is I get another shot, which is fantastic approach, right? That's what you should be doing when you make mistakes. You should try to sell your mistake, fail fast, recoup what you can, and swing the bat again. I like that for Carolina. And that's why I was, you know, egging you on. I wanted the reaction. I do believe it is the most ridiculous trade. My favorite trade, though, is probably Za'Darius Smith to the Lions. Funny that both Smiths that used to play for the Packers as edge rushers get traded within a week of each other. But Za'Darius Smith to the Lions makes a lot of sense to me, right? They lose Aiden Hutchinson. They didn't miss a beat last week against the Packers, right? They absolutely dominated that game. And you think, we still can do this, right? Like, we are still good enough to beat any team in the NFL. And they go invest in a very high upside player, Za'Darius Smith, still doing it. I know he's a little bit older, but he adds a really mature edge rusher to this already great defense. So I love that trade for both sides, really, because again, Cleveland gets to say, our season's done, right? We're a 2-win team right now. We're not going to make the playoffs. Let's get something for a player that's not part of our future. They do that. And the Lions get to compete with a fantastic player. And also for Smith, right? He gets to compete in a championship potentially. I love that for him. I like that trade all around.
Yeah. We talked about the Saints at the start of this episode, right? And how heading into this year, I didn't really like the vibes in New Orleans. The vibes are immaculate in Detroit. And so I think this is a good situation for Smith overall. You have a Lee McNeil on the interior. You have, you know, we just talked about a strong secondary behind them between the two highest graded safeties in the league right now. Things just seem to be clicking with the Detroit Lions. They are playing their game every single week and imposing their will upon their opponent every single week, regardless of who's across from them. It's one of those deals where, again, it's the vibes are just good, man. And I don't believe that Aiden Hutchinson will come back this season. I know there's hopes about, well, if they make it all the way to the Super Bowl, there's a possibility. I wouldn't hang my hat on that. And apparently they're not either with this type of move. I think this is good for Smith. This is good for the Lions. It's a good recovery for bouncing back from what happened to them. So I think that's probably one of the more noteworthy deals of this weekend or this week, right? This massive day, Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Probably second to the Marshawn Lattimore trade, I think. And we kind of touched on that a little bit. But, you know, again, I like that one. I think it might be a bit of a premature move for the Commanders, but I kind of like their mindset as far as being aggressive. But I think it might be a year too early. I know they're better than expected, but I don't really see them making a deep run just yet. And so taking on a Lattimore, maybe they plan to keep him and pay his $16 million base salary next year and that sort of thing. But for the Lions, I think the timing is right for something like this. Whereas I could say that about them and the Steelers. I think the Commanders might've been a little bit early with their aggressive move, but I don't knock them for it. I like the mindset.
Well, that's kind of why I didn't choose it, right? It's because we talked about how these running style quarterbacks, while they dominate in the regular season, you want to see them dominate in the postseason. Can they do it? I would have liked to see what is going to become of Jaden Daniels week one of the postseason. Let's see what he can do. And I understand you can't make trades after that. So if he does great and you're missing a corner, it sucks. But I think I'd rather see that and make trades this offseason, next year, to get my team to that championship window than doing it right now. But Tre'Davious White, right? I think that's the last one we maybe want to mention here. So Tre'Davious White gets traded from LA to the Ravens. This year hasn't been great for him, 49.3 grade. We kind of talked about him in the offseason when he did get picked up by the Rams. It was an interesting trade. You wanted to get a veteran in the room. I get that. But his body just hasn't really been healthy. He hasn't been keeping up. What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, it's one of those deals where injuries really zap you of who you are as a player and an athlete. And that's pretty much what happened to Tre'Davious White over the last couple of years. So again, he's the sort of exclusive, like you swap seventh round picks in different years and then you add the player into it, which just kind of goes to show, you know, the decline where injuries do take a toll and it's not always just, hey, it's modern medicine 2024, so he'll be fine. I think Tre'Davious White's a cautionary tale there, but I guess, you know, why not take the swing if you're the Ravens? You know, you're a good organization. Maybe you get something out of him for one last run here. But I think that one in particular, I think, yeah, it's just a flyer and nothing more and probably no all 22 implications, but maybe some real life implications for the Ravens, depending on how deep they go.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, enjoy the rest of the
best trade. What's the best trade? What is the trade of November 2024?
Yeah, we have to vote, right? That's what's happening right now. I mean, I said mine is the Za'Darius Smith trade for the Lions. I think that's a fantastic move for the Lions. Puts them firmly in that championship window, tells the team and the guys on the team that they believe that they're a championship team. That's my vote.
Okay. I'm going to go with Mike. I changed my mind during this podcast. I'm going to go with Mike Williams to the Steelers. I see the Russell Wilson moon ball. I see big body Mike Williams coming down with it. I'm you know, let's see what happens here. I'm going to shoot for the upside and see what happens. I'm all in on the Steelers now. They believe in Russ. They're going to let him cook. I'm on for what does he say? Steelers Nation, let's ride. Does he say that? What does he say now to the fans when he ends interviews?
Hopefully nothing. Hopefully he's just quiet and plays football really well. Right. All right.
Well, we couldn't come to a consensus. So I think everything is now devolved into chaos and anarchy, but sure.
All right, cool. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter at @all22_PFF. Give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the trades. Go out and vote.
Be cool to everybody else.